Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a post-game edition of the Talking About podcast. Gutty win for our Philadelphia 76ers, who, despite missing multiple starters, pulled out a 110-102 victory over Milwaukee. Great performance by Joel Embiid down the stretch. A lot of great contributions from guys up and down the roster. Unfortunately, there is a Tyrese Maxey injury that kind of casts a black cloud over the situation. We're going to discuss that a little later. But first, let me reintroduce our own David Early to the podcast to flesh this all out with me. Dave, how you doing tonight?
I'm good. Happy to be here.
Yeah. So aside from the Tyrese thing, so let's just the bare bones of it, get it out of the way first. And we're going to kind of talk about the potential ramifications later. But so Tyrese having an incredible first half, 24 points in the first half alone, very late in the half, comes up, you know, limping, has to go to the locker room. The initial x-rays are negative, but he's scheduled for an MRI. You know, we just saw with James Harden recently where, yeah, you can say Maxey was able to shoot the free throws and like didn't immediately have to leave the court, but that was kind of a similar situation for Harden when, and then he later gets diagnosed with a tendon strain and is out a month. So I don't know, Dave, you're always looking at injury stuff closely, and what did you see? What are your feelings about, you know, Tyrese's potential injury here?
Yeah, probably like many of you listening, I thought at first he just rolled his ankle and it didn't look too bad. Usually when you see a guy roll an ankle, you look how much did it roll? Did like all his body weight come down on completely sideways? You want to see like, was it an internal or external? Because if it goes inwards, that's more of like the high ankle. I was looking for all that stuff. Tyrese goes marching off into the stands. And then he's quickly ruled out, and my heart sank when Cassie Hubbard said they're thinking left foot and he's getting an MRI. And I was like, oh, that already puts us into a slightly more or very much more dangerous bucket than any ankle roll scenarios I was thinking about. Then I had the thought, like, they let James Harden play more than 30 minutes on this severely sprained left foot. Could they be being opting for conservative and saying, whatever it is, let's just get you an MRI because you never know. But just felt like based on the reporting that there was a little bit more concern.
Yeah, according to all the beats, you could hear Tyrese kind of like cursing as he went off the court, just out of like anger and frustration about it. And, you know, Tyrese is not a guy that like typically does that sort of thing. So you can tell he was really frustrated and he had to be hurting. So
you just hope he didn't feel like a pop or a, you know, something ugly.
Yeah, so not great. We'll await word on the MRI to come Saturday. But yeah, let's, before we kind of talk about what an extended absence for him would mean, let's talk about the win, because it was an incredibly gutty and exciting Sixers performance tonight. You know, no Harden, obviously. Tobias Harris was ruled out not too long before tip-off, so that's another starter they were down. And then you lose Maxey, you know, late in the first half, who, you know, gave you everything he could for a half, like kind of carried the offense in the first half with 24 points, but, you know, don't have him down the stretch, so that's a big loss. But they still pulled out the win. Joel Embiid, 32 points, 11 rebounds, 8 assists, 3 blocks. Just he really had the mid-range game going tonight, and he's just hitting those elbow and free throw jumpers one after another, which he really needed to do, because I think maybe more than anyone else in the league, Brook Lopez presents a difficult matchup for him. He's not able to just kind of bully him around the rim, and Lopez has enough length where, you know, I think he blocked 3 Joel shots, and there was the one where Joel was kind of on a fast break situation, did his little, you know, crossover
Euro
dribble. Yeah, Euro stepped across Brook's body, and usually that's, you know, cash money. He's big enough. He just extends at the rim, throws it off the glass, and it's good. But Brook was able to, like, recover, get his hand on the ball, and block that shot. There was another one in the first quarter where you know, Joel tried to just power his way down, and Brooke kind of like stifled him twice, once with the body going up, and then Joel tried to go up again, and Brooke got the ball cleanly. So that, I mean, that kind of worries me down the road, just because if you're playing them in a playoff series, you have Giannis, you have Brooke Lopez. I don't think there's any team in the league that's better equipped to deal with Joel Embiid. So I also think it speaks to, you know, his greatness that he still found a way to help his team. He was hitting those shots, ended up with 32 points, the 8 assists as Milwaukee was just sending one double team after another at him. And he was, you know, calmly reading the defense, finding his guys, making good passes more often than not. He had the key assist late in the game to find Shake under the basket when they threw a couple guys at him and Shake was wide open for a little lay-in. Just overall gutty performance from Joel. Not one we're going to talk about down the road, like his 59-point performance over the weekend, but against a really quality opponent, I think this was almost as equally impressive in my mind.
Yeah, Joel won the in-game chess match in this one. I came out kind of worried and disappointed because didn't look like the game plan was in the Sixers' favor. They were baiting him into tempting him and taking all these mid-range shots. He wasn't getting he didn't have the touch on it early on. And I thought he was starting to force a couple, and I was like, uh-oh, this can get away from them. You know, they were down big. And Lopez, like you said, Lopez just plays him so well. He had a few blocks right at the rim on him the first time they met, the Bucks opener of the season, a win here in Philly, and he did it again tonight. But Joel kind of won that chess match. He went right at him, played some bully ball in the fourth quarter, and then he drained a pair of mid-range shots, kind of fading away around the free throw line. Then he made the right pass. He was finding Niang. He was finding Melton. He found Shake on the one you mentioned, the Jordan to Wennington famous dump ball kind of play there.
Yep. Good comparison there. For
Jordan's double nickel he was draining all of his mid-range shots. So finally they throw two at him and he leaves someone right under the rim. Joel found him. So it was a great play. Helped put it away.
Yep. Just barely found Melton. D'Anthony made a terrific catch. The pass was pretty errantly high and he kind of like reached back a little like OBJ homage and pulled
Justin
it in.
Justin Jefferson. Yeah.
More recent one. Yeah, sure. And not only caught it, but managed to keep his feet in bounds along the sideline in the corner, which, you know, we've seen enough for kind of Korkmaz out of bounds steps over the years to know that that's not as easily, it's easier said than done. And then he was wide open, but you know, a lot of times guys get in their head about shots that are that wide open, especially if it wasn't a clean catch, but he still canned a three. So really important pivotal shot for the Sixers, you know, with just a few minutes left in that game. Before we go on to Melton and the rest of the supporting cast, what did you think about the job that they did on Giannis tonight? So Giannis finished 25 points, 14 rebounds, 4 assists, 5 turnovers. So, you know, solid game, not one of his better outings. I think most importantly for how the Sixers were able to succeed against Giannis is just, he just didn't have it working at the free throw line tonight. He was 4 of 15 from the charity stripe. Just seemed to be one of those nights where he was in his own head about it. And the fans were obviously, you know, getting their free Chick-fil-A. So they were all about it. I think they did a good job varying the coverages. I think they threw different things at Giannis. What did you see in their attempts to slow down the Greek Freak?
I think we owe one to Chick-fil-A in this one. I think, it's all about that free throw line. And if he shoots better from there, they probably emerged with the victory in this one. The coverages were good. I thought they played him pretty well. I mean, what can you do? You can see Paul Reed really, really moves his feet well and still gets dunked on sometimes. When this guy determines to score, he can get to the rim and to the point where you think he's going to have to do like a scoop layup, and then he just dunks it. And you're like, oh, I forgot.
Yeah. He's got those long strides and he manages like turn a corner, and anyone else would just like, it'd be like a little floater or something. And it's like, oh, he can just get to the rim with that one step.
Yeah. He's still dunked it. And it's so crazy. He's so good. When he came out and drained a three, I was like, oh no. And then it turned out to be a terrible shooting night for him from the stripe, at least.
And yeah, and from three as well. He finished that three he made was the only one. He finished 1 of 5 from behind the arc. I know.
Yeah.
I was watching the ESPN broadcast, and Doris Burke kept, you know, bringing up why is he shooting that? Like, there's 17 seconds left in the shot clock. He
let
should
him
be
have it for that one. Yeah.
Yeah. So I thought you honestly couldn't probably do much better against Giannis. You certainly benefited from the 4 of 15 night at the line, but you know, that's part of the honest package. So that there are going to be nights like that, and you hope for the best in that regard if you're the opposition.
Shooting threes when he probably shouldn't have been and not making his free throws. This would have been a perfect segue if we were going to talk about Ben Simmons tonight, but we're not.
blissfully, we do not have to talk about Ben Simmons if we don't want to anymore.
We do soon. In a couple days, he's coming.
Yeah, I'm not on that post-game pod, so, you know. Best wishes to Jazz or whoever's covering Tuesday night. I'm not sure. let's take a quick break and hear from our sponsors. When we get back, we're going to talk about the supporting cast and the jobs they did stepping up with all the key absences the Sixers had tonight.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, and we're back. Let's start with George Niang, who 17 points, 4 of 8 from three. Just one of those guys that never seems fazed by being in big situations. And Joel loves playing with him. He loves Niang's like cockiness and energy. You can tell he likes having on the floor. And this goes back to like the Ersan Ilyasova days, where Joel always is happy to have like a stretch four out there that can have a quick trigger and can triples. Of course, the downside of Niang is his defensive limitations, but I don't know. I feel like Milwaukee has more spots you can hide a guy like Niang than, you know, a team like Boston. I feel like Boston has more, you know, versatile ball handlers up and down their roster, where I think there's a lot of, you know, 3-and-D less multi-dimensional offensive weapons on the Bucks, where you can find spots to kind of hide George. And obviously you have to do your best to avoid getting him in pick and roll situations and switches against, you know, their more formidable guys. But I think Milwaukee's a pretty good matchup for him. What do you think about that idea and Niang's performance overall tonight?
Yeah, I thought like you said, you captured it. He didn't look rattled. He often has these games where, I mean, we should be tipping cap to him. Like, when we say a Niang open three, he's really not open that much. He's taking very, very closely contested shots comfortably.
Yeah, they're open, but it only lasts for a second.
Exactly. So it's like, it's not something that a lot of shooters can do. I mean, there's some guys that we regard as snipers for shooting 40%. But they're not taking them the way Niang is taking them. He's taking them with guys right all over him sometimes, like with a hand covering both of his eyes. And I'm like, wow, he didn't really seem to mind. He's not like, you know, Kobe Bryant jumping like very, very high in the air and fading away. So, you know, even if you put your hand in his face, he's comfortable. Niang, it's like he's barely jumping. It seems like you might tip it. I think he might have had one tip tonight. So it's a real testament to his poise on his release, how good he is at these.
Yeah.
And he had that nice floater for the N1 too.
Yeah. He's always had a little bit of a, you know, verve to his off the dribble game. He doesn't bring it out too often because that's not his role in the team, but yeah, he was kind of like a point forward back in his Iowa State days. So He does have that in his bag a little bit.
Good reference. Nice. I didn't know
that. But yeah, he did have the one block, but you know, his high release, quick trigger,
unfazed trigger. Yeah.
Yeah. All really make him a useful guy to help spread the floor. And they certainly needed it tonight because, you know, no Tobias and then Maxey goes down. So suddenly they're playing lineups with Paul Reed and Niang as the forwards, with either they had both Embiid and Harrell lineups at the five with Niang and Paul Reed. Just, you know, it was a skeleton crew, you know, because they also had Matisse, who, you know, was questionable coming into the game. He played 4 minutes, but they clearly didn't think he could go big minutes tonight. So yeah, really, I guess eight bodies available by the end of it. And
yeah, Paul just tweeted like, I know we're shorthanded, but this lineup.
Yeah, I think the one he was referring to was Harrell, Niang, Paul Reed, Milton and Maxey maybe, or something like late in the first half. And they probably had a similar one in the second half. That was Milton and Maxey, or Milton and Milton rather, with when once Maxey was out.
Yeah, it was definitely a Milton because I was like, oh, the Milton.
It's the can I buy a vowel backward. let's talk about Shake, who kind of a roller coaster night for him. A lot of good plays, also a lot of just like visibly bad plays where, you know, bad pass or bad defensive rotation. He had three turnovers, but all in all, 15 points, six assists, three turnovers, but he was a team best plus 17 on the night, when no one else. Next highest was PJ plus 11. So really good job when he was in the game, by and large, considering he probably wasn't expecting to play 31 minutes tonight. So what are the Sixers going to do going forward? If, you know, Harden's out, we think two more weeks based on recent reports and his return to the practice floor. Maxey, who knows, but doesn't seem like something where he's going to be back immediately. So I think two weeks for him would probably be a best case scenario. Do they just ride the Milton backcourt for the next 2 weeks? That's problematic for all the lack of ball handling reasons we've talked about all season. Or do you think Daryl dips into the, I don't know, like the 10-day pool and tries to bring like at least some true point guard onto the roster for a couple of weeks? What do you think?
He might do that, but I do think it probably wouldn't matter. Doc hasn't shown a huge willingness to play those guys. Then we had Anthony Tolliver, who never cracked the rotation, and Doc was like, minutes, what do you want me to play more, Tobias? So even
just got to find another 34-year-old or something then.
Yeah, then maybe. But even if they did sign, like we've had Grant Riller here and there, right? I think that they probably will lean into this Milton thing. I think Shake, we were talking about it a little bit offline on our Slack, like, how much should you be leaning on Shake? How much of a backup point guard do you really need when Maxey and Harden are healthy? And I argued not a ton, but now they need him a ton because neither of them are healthy. And Shake probably earned quite a bit more faith going forward with this nice performance. I mean, I did our bell ringer tonight. I'm like, how did I not put Shake in there? I think I messed that one up because 15 points and six assists and a big win. I thought he earned himself some more minutes moving forward for sure.
Yeah, you might hear about it from the commenters there.
I hope so. Yeah. Keep me honest, guys.
Yeah. But yeah, I guess if you get this version of Shake, you can kind of tread water for a couple of weeks. I think this is probably one of, if not his best, one of his better performances this season. He's really kind of had a down year, and maybe that's just not having a defined role and, you know, sporadic minutes. So the fact that he'll be called upon and know what he has to do when he takes the floor each night, maybe that helps him. But yeah, I think we've seen Shake have good stretches in the past, and it's, you know, hopefully he can kind of turn back the clock a little bit to past seasons and, you know, help the team out when they certainly need him these next 2 weeks with Harden and Maxey out.
It's funny to say about a 26-year-old, turn back the clock when you were 23.
Yeah, what was it, 2019? What was the year he caught Doc's eye with the Clippers, the 30-plus point game against the Clippers?
It must have been the 2019-2020 yeah. Season, Doc's last in L.A.
Yeah, so, and that bought Shake a very long leash for Doc's first year and a half here.
It did.
I guess we should finish up with the backup center situation. Paul Reed was the first big off the bench tonight. He played 12 minutes to Harrell's five. Neither was too impactful in the box score, but I thought Reed did a pretty good job defensively. You know, had a he drew part of the Giannis responsibility. I thought, you know, did as well as you could under the circumstances against Giannis. You know, had one put back on an offensive board, and you know, not a hugely impactful thing, but I think he looked better than he's been in a bit of a slump the last few weeks, and it was kind of angering people, not only because they want their guys to play well, but everyone, you know, pounds the floor for Paul Reed constantly. So any crack for Doc to say, well, look, Paul's not playing well, so I got to go Harrell, that I think that frustrates Sixers fans doubly. So, but better performance from Paul tonight. I don't know. Anything stick out to you in regarding those two guys?
Yeah, Harrell clearly has the better differential in terms of plus minus. He's been positive and Reed's been overwhelmingly negative. And Doc has been playing Reed more and first over Harrell anyway. So maybe there's some sort of change of heart that we've seen. I think the fact that Reed was a plus five in this one, like if he was a minus 15, I would have been like, that makes sense. We at least slowed Giannis down a tiny bit when Embiid was on the bench. You'll take that. But he was a plus five. They won the Paul Reed minutes in a game against Milwaukee. That's completely insane. From our baseline of last year, like we played Paul Millsap and Giannis dropped like 13 straight or something, right?
Yeah. Right. That was the disaster sequence. Yeah. Last night.
Yeah. So putting into its proper context, a tremendous effort. He had a pair of stops in the first half that I found impressive. He wasn't able to convert the bucket on the other end. And maybe Milwaukee, you know, kept pouring it on anyway, but just slides his feet well. And I don't know that he's the answer for the championship version of the Sixers, but I do think that he presents some much better upside in defensive games like this, where you need to hold a championship caliber team to like 102 points than Trez. Not that there's no role for Trez. Like, I think Trez can be really helpful. You saw when he got in there how he was able to finish and get some free throws, which helped put them in the penalty. I get, could be wrong, but I like Reed's defense for sure.
Yeah, I mean, just once the playoffs roll around, you really only need a guy to play like 8 to 10 minutes, because Joel's, you know, best case scenario with if he doesn't have a broken eye socket or torn finger or anything else, like he's able to give you 38 to 40 minutes in a playoff game. So just a guy that can bring energy and not hurt you defensively and just stay within himself on offense and crash boards or whatever else, that's really all you need. So I think Paul Reed can do that. We'll see. It's been a little more up and down this season for Paul than I think people probably hoped, but he's getting his chances. Good game tonight for him. So positive signs there. All right, Dave, I think that'll wrap it up for us. The Maxi stuff is certainly a huge bummer, and we'll await word on the MRI, and hopefully it's on the better end of the spectrum as far as those results are concerned. But still, really, really good win tonight. I thought, you know, Milwaukee's missing some guys too. They don't have Middleton. Drew Holiday was limited. They're missing Connaughton, you know, a couple other rotation guys. But still, like, you had Giannis playing a really intense game. You could tell he wanted it tonight. Like, he had it revved up. Bobby Portis had a nice game. Brooke Lopez played well on both ends. So, yeah, this was still a really quality Bucks team. And for the Sixers to come back from being down double digits early, and they were losing by three midway through the fourth quarter, and Joel kind of led them on that comeback and pull away for the win. Yeah, we'll take that. That's a really quality win for the Sixers tonight to get over 500.
This is my prayer circle for Tyrese.
This is your FUBAR.
Yes, like, yes. This is my good omens for, yeah, Tyrese.
Not letting the bad thoughts enter your mind space.
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah, we all hope that, because, you know, Joel's picked it up lately, but on the whole, it's been more frustrating than not for the Sixers this season, and Tyrese has been one of the brighter spots, and so we hope to see him back on the floor.
He had a full game line in 21 minutes tonight.
Yeah.
So it would just be crushing if he had to miss significant time.
Yep. Yep. So all the best thoughts for Tyrese and his foot as we await word on that MRI. But 110-102 win for the Sixers. They're now 8-7 on the season. Dave, it's been fun chatting with you about the win. Where can everybody find you online?
I'm at David Early on Twitter and all my writings at Liberty Ballers. It's been fun. Thanks for having me.
Good Absolutely. Do you want to give backups in case I know everyone thinks Twitter is going to collapse any day now? Yahoo groups. Do you have a MySpace account you're going to revive?
Go hit me up on LinkedIn. I'll start talking about the Sixers on there.
Yeah. I love that. Everyone keeps every day thinking I don't think it's going anywhere. I think it'll like a cockroach. Twitter will remain with us.
Probably right.
Yeah. On Twitter, I am at Philly Fast Break. And of course, read our stuff at libertyballers.com. All right, Dave, thank you. Thank you to all the listeners out there. We'll catch you next week and have a great weekend.